You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers. On the board, it is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this TGIF Friday edition, January 31st, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Sunny skies here in downtown Madison, Wisconsin for the world headquarters, Zommers. It feels like it's Wednesday of next week, but I'm glad it's Friday of this one.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. These first 2 weeks, not even, these right. first week and three quarters have been exactly as chaotic as expected.
Yeah, and just a lot of stuff going on. L.A. Tom checking in on YouTube out in Los Angeles, California, saying happy Friday, Todd and Zommers. Happy Friday back to you, Tom. I did not catch it because honestly, I forgot about it. But there was the big Fire Aid Relief telecast concert last night out in Los Angeles. Speaking, Gail King at CBS was there, was covering it this morning on their program. But I guess it was spectacular. And the baseline was 60. They had 60 million in the bank for Fire Aid Relief for Los Angeles, the greater Los Angeles area, before they started the show. Last night.
Wow.
And I believe it was at the arena for the LA Clippers. And the owners of the Clippers said they would match whatever was raised during the concert proper. So still waiting to hear what the final number is. But it's a good reminder for those of us here. You know, these things happen and it's headlines. And then, you know, we're on to the next headline. But the people that have suffered through this, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, briefly. His son and his family, they originally from Madison, but they out in LA now, screenwriters, and their house was spared, but the adjoining neighborhood is gone. And their family had to move out to a hotel for like a week and a half, not knowing whether their house was there or not. And when they got back, by the grace of God, it was still standing.
And imagine the survivor's guilt, too. All your neighbor's stuff is gone, right. And you're still there.
Yeah. So it's still certainly affecting people. You can help out. Go to civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us. We have links there if you would like to give whatever you can. And look, $5 is $5 because it all adds up. 500 is even better, 5,000 astronomical. But give what you can and go to civicmedia.us. We've got the sites there to help our friends out in Los Angeles as they continue to recover and move forward after those horrific wildfires. Big show today. Got a lot going on. Some great Wisconsin stories that I think will make us feel better on a Friday. Wisconsin Rapids. Rapids, as the natives say up there. Great town, great station in the Civic Media Network, WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids received an award, and we'll tell you what for. Rather unusual award, but I think it's fantastic, so we'll tell you a little bit about that. Also, Slinger. You ever been to Slinger?
I think I have.
Slinger.
It's hard. I hardly know her. No, it's hard to...
You're in my mind. See, he's been around me long enough, it's rubbing off.
It's true. It's hard to remember whether I've been to Slinger or Spooner or both, because right. The names are both fun.
Yeah, they are. A great coach, great high school coach at Slinger has been chosen for a national award. How about that? We'll call them out and tell you a little bit about that later on in the show. Brian Hagedorn, the Supreme Court Justice, the conservative, has announced he's going to recuse himself from the upcoming case involving Act 10 because guess what? He helped write it.
He's doing the right thing.
Right? I think he should get a shout out for that. So Hagedorn doing the right thing. We'll tell you about that according to WisPolitics.com. And Sean Duffy, native Wisconsinite, now our transportation secretary. And he seemingly now, I had no idea, because this last summer when our friend Jane Matinere and I traveled around the state of Wisconsin together, and by the way, if you did not catch Matinere on air today, do yourself a favor and go back in the podcast form and listen to all 2 hours. She had our friend Dan Schaefer, our political editor and founder of the Recombobulation, on as a guest co-host today. And let me tell you, it was entertaining. It was informative. Great conversations on a variety of topics. So shout out to Jane. Sometimes when you listen to your colleagues, you're like, man, I just wish I could do that. And it was it was one of those days when, you know, I hope Jane and her crew are very proud, because it was just it was a great show today. Anyway, when Jane and I traveled around the state of Wisconsin, we've talked about this in the show before. We are both fans of musicals, and in particular, the musical Book of Mormon. And it appeared last night or yesterday, apparently hitherto unknown facts, as my former teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying, hitherto unknown facts, Sean Duffy, also apparently a fan of Book of Mormon. And he is using it now, apparently, to set policy for the Department of Transportation.
Although I think he may have gotten the wrong message from the musical.
But maybe. I don't know. But we'll talk about Sean Duffy. He wants us to get back to having fun. That's right. Go forth and procreate, says Sean Duffy. No National Condom Week for Congressman, former Congressman Sean Duffy. He wants it to be raw dogging. You know, like you have a No Shave November. I think Sean Duffy is going to come out soon with Raw Dog February.
I think you're right.
We'll explain. We're not making it up, folks. We'll explain in a little while here. What else we got? Good old Tommy Tuberville, senator from Florida, but he tries to represent Alabama. Speaking of going back to biblical times, he says, don't spare the rod or you'll spoil the child. He says, a good old-fashioned whipping, that's better than medication. Again, I'm not making this up. We'll explain a little bit later in the show. But first of all, I wanted to start off today with, and I don't want to, again, belabor this, but I think, for number one, it's a tragedy what happened in this plane crash and helicopter crash in D.C. this week. 64 people lost their lives on the airline flight, 3 United States soldiers on the helicopter. I think this is instructive. This is an instructive, of course, first and foremost, it's a tragedy, right? But there is some unfortunate instructiveness that comes out of this. And that is, it's important. This is a primer, you understand, for Trump 2.0. Because the first go around, whether I or anybody else liked him or not, always agreed, he had people around him that said, yeah, you can't do that, Mr. President. Actually, that's unconstitutional, Mr. President. Actually, sir, that's against the law. But this time around, Katie, bar the door. So on CNN last night, Caitlin Collins did a great piece that I think we need to take time to hear today. Because she went through and put out the facts simultaneously with clips from President Trump's press conference earlier in the day. So I think this is instructive. So this is where we're going to begin today. We're going to start this out, and we'll stop it and explain as we go through here. This is CNN's Caitlin Collins on her piece from Reagan National Airport last night, going through juxtaposing what Trump said during the press conference with the actual facts.
We don't know about the collision that claimed 67 lives here last night, but with the investigation only a few hours old, President Trump entered the White House briefing room today, took a moment of silence for the victims, and then almost immediately began to speculate, while providing no evidence, that diversity in hiring and policies of prior administrations somehow caused this disaster.
Then it's a group within the FAA, another story, determined that the workforce was too white, that they had concerted efforts to get the administration to change that and to change it immediately. This was in the Obama administration just prior to my getting there. And we took care of African Americans, Hispanic Americans. We took care of everybody at levels that nobody's ever seen before. It's one of the reasons I won. But they actually came out with a directive to white.
Now, the president has access to more information than almost anyone, but in a similar fashion to how he reacted to the New Orleans terror attack, falsely linking it to migrants, today he suggested that diversity initiatives were to blame, even as the bodies of these survivors were still being pulled from the Potomac.
We don't even yet know the names of the 67 people who were killed, and you are blaming Democrats and DEI policies and air traffic control and seemingly the member of the U.S. military who was flying that Black Hawk helicopter. Don't you think you're getting ahead of the investigation now?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think were the names of the people. You mean the names of the people that are on the plane? You think that's going to make a difference?
As for evidence of his claims, Trump offered this.
On DEI and the claims that you've made, are you saying this crash was somehow caused and the result of diversity hiring? And what evidence have you seen to support these claims?
It just could have been. We have a high standard. We've had a much higher standard than anybody else. And there are things where you have to go by brain power. You have to go by psychological quality. And psychological quality is a very important element of it.
Let's stop right there for a second, Zomers. There's at the end of it. I think this is so important to note. In this clip from CNN last night, Caitlin Collins, she was reporting live from Reagan National Airport. And going back and forth between the questions and providing facts of what he said. And again, it's this weaving in of his term, not mine, weaving in of misinformation, outright lies, and insinuation that somehow this was that the people, quote unquote, responsible were DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion hires, which, remember, is not just ethnicity. It also includes, DEI includes veterans. It includes people with disabilities, folks in wheelchairs, crutches. And saying somehow that it was a someone like that, quote unquote, those people, that it was their fault. And Caitlin Collins putting it down there where the chickens could get at it. And obviously, you know, equating this back to what happened to New Orleans, other places where Trump has a history of this already in his new term, putting out knowingly misinformation and trying to construe it as fact. We're going to come back, listen to the last part of this report from Caitlin Collins. Take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday. TGIF. Serious stuff in hour one, a little what's worse in hour two. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon. Hour number two, Aaron Zomers, Board Game of the Week segment returns on this Friday. Cannot wait. It's a traditional classic. I'm very excited about
that. That much it is.
Yes. Also have a What's Worse segment talking about the Oscars and the Grammys. And much more. Right now, I want to finish up this segment. And I get this. You're like, well, Todd, isn't this kind of a national deal? Yes, it is. But I think we could all agree. Certainly yesterday, it was the top story, this tragedy, this air crash in Washington, D.C., the American Airlines flight. 64 souls on board perished along with the three U.S. Army helicopter folks and our military, all dead from this crash. And yesterday, Trump holds this press conference without having all the facts. And he makes a lot of insinuations and uses the opportunity to divide people, to make false claims that somehow this was related to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion hires, disabled people and such. And I think this is instructive what Caitlin Collins did. And this is why we had two more minutes of this report left. where she's dissecting this and giving us the truth and pushing back. And I think this is really instructive of how we as Americans go forward for the next 4 years. Because hold on to your hats. This ain't going to change. This is going to keep on coming.
Certainly not for the better, at least.
No. What I mean is the way that they're the Trump folks and Trump himself are using this tragedy, this is what we're going to see time and time again. So I think it's instructive up front to see how he's using things against it. So here we go. Caitlin Collins last night on CNN.
Here's what is true. The standards and training to become an air traffic controller in the United States, which are the highest in the world, are relatively straightforward. You must be a citizen, speak English, be younger than 31, and have either enough work experience or a college education. There is no mention of race or gender. The president referenced President Obama, who expanded the hiring process by including people who may not have gone to one of the 33 schools that offer specific training to be an air traffic controller. But every applicant still must go to the FAA Academy for training. That's before the candidates spend another 1 to 3 years doing on-the-job training before they're fully certified. They all undergo rigorous mental and physical testing. And one reason that Obama expanded the hiring pool was because there weren't enough people applying to do one of the most stressful jobs that there is. As divers were still in the water today, Trump started quoting from the FAA's website.
But I do want to point out that various articles that appeared prior to my entering office, and here's one. The FAA's diversity push includes focus on hiring people with severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. That is amazing. And then it says FAA says people with severe disabilities are most underrepresented segment of the workforce, and they want them in, and they want them. They can be air traffic controllers. I don't think so.
Now, every administration since George W. Bush's has pushed to increase the number of people who have targeted disabilities. That includes people who may be deaf or blind or use a wheelchair. And that includes the first Trump administration's efforts to, quote, continue to promote and support the hiring of people with disabilities and targeted disabilities.
All right, stop that right there, please. Thank you. This is very important to highlight. That this policy of recruitment and the FAA has been happening since George W. Bush, 2000 on, including the first Trump administration. And you heard Caitlin Collins read it from the Trump administration's version of the FAA, where they were trying to get more folks with disabilities to apply and hire, not necessarily to be air traffic controllers. But guess what? The FAA is a huge agency. There are people who do data entry. There are people who are receptionists. There are people who type reports or data things. I mean, there are all kinds of jobs in these federal agencies that aren't air traffic controllers. And Trump himself, in his own administration, term one, did this. Continue, please.
Of thousands of jobs at the FAA, not just the people in the air traffic control tower. And all of this was in place during Trump's first term. His administration even announced a pilot program to help prepare people with disabilities for careers in air traffic operations. That's because the problem has never been about letting in or keeping out certain kinds of people. It's been that there aren't enough people involved. In fact, the FAA needs 3,000 more air traffic controllers right now. Yet among the first steps of this administration have been to gut a bipartisan aviation safety committee, freeze the hiring of new federal workers, and offering many more of them buyouts.
Caitlin Collins last night on CNN. Great reporting. Great way to just present the facts, to dig in, to take information from Trump's first administration and say, wait a minute, you were doing this in your own administration.
I really wish that mainstream / legacy news could have been doing this the whole time.
Right.
I'm glad that whoever had Caitlin Collins on a tight leash is letting her loose now, because right. Now she has been just presenting facts and contradictions.
I think it's a great example of good reporting, not sensationalized. Stay calm. Present the facts. As Dan Patrick said in an interview I saw recently, he said, you know, when he left ESPN, and wanted to go off on his own and do radio. Someone, he said, I don't want to do the Stephen A. Smith or the Jim Rome, and not to knock on those guys. But he said, I don't want to do screeching sports radio. I don't want to be yelling. And he said something just stays with me. He said, I would hope that the point makes the point. I would hope that the point makes the point. And I think that's exactly what Caitlin Collins did last night on CNN in her reporting. As I forget who was it, Shepard Smith used to say, keep us honest or keep it honest or something like that. Well, there was somebody. Somebody will know that and correct me. But somebody said, keep it as honest. I think that's true, whether it's me or anybody else. Keep us all honest, those of us who have the privilege to have a microphone, a camera, or both each and every day. I want to come back. Don't go anywhere. We have the great fabulous farm babe, as she calls herself, Pam Yonke, and her great team at the Midwest Farm Report coming up, going to tell us how agriculture is affecting us today across the state of Wisconsin. And when we come back, I want to play you the last president who had to address the country after a plane crash in 2009. Just juxtapose that to what we got. And straight ahead also, Sean Duffy of Wisconsin. He wants us to have more sex. I'm not joking around. Come on back. It's the Todd Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now, past the hour of 12 noon on this TGIF. It's a Friday, January 31st, 2025. Hello, Americans. It's Friday. Stand by for news. My best Paul Harvey impersonation, the late, great Paul Harvey. Talking about this press conference, or at least that's what they called it yesterday. It was a press conference. It was just, I would say, nearly unprecedented. Not only that, I don't think it's ever happened before. If you're a fan of Gilligan's Island, you'll get the joke. Back, you know, Gilligan. So usually the character, the professor would say something profound and use kind of a big word. And then Gilligan would say, you know, not only that, and then put it in layman's terms. So I'm Todd Allball trying to be the Gilligan of Wisconsin radio, putting it down there in terms we could all understand. Talking about the tragedy of 64 lives on the American Airlines Jet 3 on the U.S. Army helicopter in this tragedy in D.C. this week. And yesterday, Donald Trump chooses the moment not to bring people together, but to blame. I'm not going to play these all again. We played some of these cuts yesterday where he attacks Obama, attacks Biden, attacks Democrats, and blames it on them, blames it on DEI hire, suggests that people DEI hires don't have the intellect for jobs like this. None of this, which has been proven, and much of it actually proven false. And it got me wondering, got me to thinking, as they say, what would Republicans have done in 2009, the last time we had an air tragedy, a crash in the United States, when then President Obama, newly elected in 2008, he was in this first year of his first term, 2009. What would have happened if Obama had gotten up and said, well, you know, what we're really dealing with here is a lot of President Bush's appointees and the lack of funding for Republicans in Congress, people would have been apoplectic, and rightly so. So for the record, let us go back in time to 2009. Here is what President Barack Obama said when he had the moment and the spotlight on him in his first few days in office when a similar tragedy happened in the United States.
Before I begin, I want to say a brief word about the terrible tragedy that took place outside of Buffalo last night. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families and friends who lost loved ones. And as always, our thanks go out to the brave first responders who arrived immediately to try and save lives and who are still on the scene, keeping people safe. Tragic events such as these remind us of the fragility of life and the value of every single day. One person who understood that well was Beverly Eckert, who was on that flight and who I met with just a few days ago. You see, Beverly lost her husband on 9/11 and became a tireless advocate for those families whose lives were forever changed on that September day. And in keeping with that passionate commitment, she was on her way to Buffalo to mark what would have been her husband's birthday and launch a scholarship in his memory. So she was an inspiration to me and to so many others, and I pray that her family finds peace and comfort in the hard days ahead.
Former President Barack Obama, his first few days in office, first couple of months in office in 2009, when there was an air tragedy in Buffalo, New York. He mentioned 9/11. Never mentioned George W. Bush. Never politicized it. Never played Republicans. Offered condolences, empathy, bringing the country together. That has been the standard for this country. Our friend John Roach, great writer, great reporter, Renaissance man, been on this program several times. He posted a couple days ago on his Facebook page, it's the anniversary of the Challenger explosion, Space Shuttle Challenger in the 80s. And President Reagan went on national television, talked eloquently about those lives and bringing Americans together. Didn't attack Democrats. Didn't attack Tip O'Neill, then Speaker of the House. Says a lot about an individual when you take an American, a national tragedy, and you make it political, and even worse, make it about yourself. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. John, listening on WMDX in Madison. John, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, I all the coverage, I think, is really good. And I'm really just floored and disgusted with what Trump said yesterday. But I guess...
John, can you I'm not sure if you're on a cell phone or what, but we're having trouble hearing you there. So if you can relocate John and give us a call back, we'll try it again here for you. That happens in today's day and age, but we appreciate you calling in. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Andrew watching on YouTube out in Maine, also listening on WAUK, says if air traffic is short-staffed, numbers of flights should be decreased to an appropriate ratio in order to make us healthy and less crashed and dead again, right? Good point, Andrew. And again, I don't want to get ahead of the investigators, the professionals, because there are still the vast majority of folks, the FAA and others, NTSB, are professionals. Let's wait and see what they say. I think what I'm hearing, the reporting, the factual reporting I'm hearing is that no air traffic controlling or air travel is still one of the safest forms of transportation. But there may be areas such as Reagan National where they may have to throttle back some of the flights, the number of flights, to make sure it is safe. I'm seeing today early information that perhaps there's a route along the Potomac River that helicopters are supposed to take, and then there's routes that airlines are supposed to take. And maybe that's just too much traffic in a small amount of place. So they're reviewing that. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go out to Los Angeles, California, L.A. Tom. L.A., thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Hey, Todd. First, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
And to you and Zomers. All right. So I really think that, and this is on Democrats too, but we really need to start talking, all of us need to start talking about the good that government does.
Mm-hmm.
And how government is not the problem. Government is actually the solution. And the reason why I say that is because we, the people, are the government. It's not just bureaucrats. It's actually all of us collectively, all these people that work for the FAA, all these people that work for the different departments that are out there. These are just regular, average Americans. And that's all of us. And the thing is, we've even the Democrats have fallen into this trap, I think, of saying, oh, government bad. Well, you know what? In any organization, you're going to have good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we need to start saying that we, the people, government, is good. The FAA is important and good. Food and Drug Administration is good. All of the different departments are good. They help us with our lives every day. Mm. What Donald Trump and the Republicans, the current group of Republicans, are saying is they hate government. They work for government, but they hate government. And
that's
they
a great...
basically want to drown it in a bathtub. Yeah,
that's a great point. A lot of these people don't like it, but they're happy to take the paycheck, right? I agree with you mostly, Tom. I agree that there are, I used to be one of them, right? So I think there are all kinds of wonderful, our friends and neighbors and family that work in with their federal or state government, and they do a lot of great work cutting through bureaucracy and providing services to people. I got you on that 100%. I just think it's also important to be open-minded enough to your, I mean, you made the point a little bit, you touched on it. I also believe, having worked in state and federal government, there are places where things could be more streamlined, or there is overlapping, or it could be more efficient, and where government does tend to put roadblocks in the way of folks unnecessarily. But I think by and large, the services that our friends and neighbors do are wonderful. I just think it's always important, like you would at any business or any place else. It's always good to keep reviewing it and say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. We should tweak that.
I 100% agree on that. I mean, in terms of streamlining and all that stuff, but we can't get caught in this trap of, you know, government being the problem. Mm. That's like saying we the people are the problem. And maybe that is true. Maybe we the people are the problem. We have to understand that it's all of us that make up what government is.
Right.
And we just got to stop, you know, like I said, there are things, I don't want the government making my tennis shoes. I don't want the government making my computers. I don't want the government doing anything like that. But when it comes to things that are natural monopolies in this country, I do think the government should be at least a public sector of that, as like a public option of some sort, should be there.
Appreciate the call.
Because government is not for profit.
Appreciate the call, Tom. Thanks so much. 855-752-4842. Let's go to John, listening right here on WMDX in Madison. John, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, I'm wanting to give suggestions. My suggestion is that Donald Trump does not really deserve to be called president.
Yeah, I'm sorry, John. I'm not sure where you're at exactly, but at least on our end, where it's just, I can't, the phone line's cutting out so bad we can't understand it, John.
When I was
sorry.
Talking to you off air, it sounded totally fine. And for some reason now when we're putting it on air, it keeps cutting out. So sorry about that.
Sorry about that, John. We can give it one more try if you want. It's just sometimes it's one of those things with cell phones or whatnot. Anyway, we'll keep following this for you. I'm not going to come back to this each and every day. But I think it was just instructional for all of us, including me, to spend a little time, more time on this today and looking at what Trump does in these opportunities of national crisis, how he handles it, and juxtaposing it to former presidents, both Republicans and Democrats. And again, we're going to hear a lot of this. We heard a lot of it in term one of Trump. We're going to hear it again. It's nearly without precedent. And not in a good way, as it turns out. All right, do we have the intro ready, Zombers, or should we do it when we come back? We have 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 3 minutes here.
Let's all have as many babies as we can and make big Mormon families.
Time, the Book of Mormon. How about that?
I want to see it so bad.
Now, can you imagine Jane Matinere, Trav and I traveling down the Wisconsin highways and byways in my truck with that blaring on the radio?
I can, and it's
glorious. And let me tell you, Jane Matinair is a very modest individual. She's got pipes. She's got a voice. And turns out, one of our favorite musicals, Book of Mormon, if you haven't seen it, it's so without giving anything away, it essentially follows these two young guys who are Mormon missionaries, and they get sent to Africa. And they try to recruit them, try to, you know, what's the term?
Evangelize?
Yes, evangelize to them. And the point, they'll convert. That's it. And the point of the show is that it doesn't matter whether it's Christianity or Judaism or Muslim or Buddhist or any of the religions, that there are things in all of these books of faith who are written thousands of years ago that it turns out, you know, maybe shouldn't be taken literally. You know, like you know, you can't touch pigskin, you know, the Old Testament or the Bible, or we should stone women in a town square. As it turns out, that doesn't happen too much anymore, at least in America. And so the point is, don't worry so much about every single line and every single edict of religion. Worry more about taking care of your friends and neighbors and treating others as you would have them treat you, which I think are one of the main tenets of Christianity. Well, Sean Duffy, new transportation secretary, obviously loves Book of Mormon as much as Jane and I do. And he has taken that song to heart and put it into policy. Sean Duffy wants us to get back to... We'll explain on the other side. It's the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Light a candle. Open a bottle of wine.
Pull up Netflix on the TV.
And chill. That's the new policy from our new transportation secretary, Sean Duffy. Welcome back to the show. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock, Todd Allball, Aaron Zommers. So before the break, we played a little Book of Mormon, the soundtrack for you. And I guess I should complete this story. So these two kids, American kids, Mormons from the U.S., of course, go over and try to evangelize, convert Africans in Uganda. One of the great lines is, one of the missionaries says, "Oh, cool, where is that?" And the guy goes, "Africa." And he goes, "Cool, like Lion King." Not quite like Lion King. So they go over there and they find these African tribes in Uganda who, this was written in the 90s, so there wasn't a whole lot of internet yet. And so they're over there, and so they tell the story of the Book of Mormon to these Ugandans. And when the head missionaries come over from the U.S. to see how things are going, the Ugandans put on their version of how they understand the Book of Mormon to be. And, of course, the Book of Mormon encourages people to have lots of children. And so the Ugandans are like, "Well, I guess God is telling us to have lots of sex." And so anyway, why is this pertinent? Beyond just saying it's a great show. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's headline, Molly Beck, the reporter, "Wisconsin road funding could change under Sean Duffy's order to prioritize higher birth and marriage rates." As Joe Biden says, I'm not joking around. Dateline Madison, the amount of federal road funding Wisconsin receives in the coming years could change under a new order from Transportation Secretary and former Badger State Congressman Sean Duffy that prioritizes areas of the country with higher birth rates. Duffy released a series of orders on Wednesday, quote, to rescind woke policies, roll back burdensome and costly regulations, restore economic growth, unquote, and ensure the Federal Transportation Department aligns with President Donald Trump's priorities, according to the statement. Duffy went on to say, quote, the American people deserve an efficient, safe, and pro-growth transportation system based on sound decision-making. Really? Not political ideologies. These actions will help us deliver on that promise, unquote. Now, here's the key part. Among the orders was one that directed the Federal Department of Transportation officials to give preference to quote, communities with marriage and birth rates higher than the national average, unquote. Let me give this to you again. This is a directive by Federal Department of Transportation officials now under Duffy and Trump to, quote, give preference to communities with marriage and birth rates higher than the national average, unquote.
When that seems like a really good way to to promote sound decision-making is force people to have kids.
Right. When awarding grants and contracts in order to make it easier for families with young children to access transportation and mitigate negative effects of transportation projects on families. Woo doggies, as Jed Clampett once said. So apparently the thinking here is, in places where families have lots of kids, it's harder to transport them around, so we're going to give the most federal money to the states that have the most kids. Duffy, back to the story, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Duffy, who represented parts of northern Wisconsin in Congress and is now a resident of New Jersey, really, is the father of 9 children. Obviously a good Catholic. Trojan isn't making any money on Duffy. He's a father of 9 children with his wife, Rachel Campos Duffy. It's unclear how that would affect Wisconsin, which, get this, has experienced falling birth rates and fertility rates in recent years. A spokesman for the State Department of Transportation here in Wisconsin said it was way too early to determine whether such metrics would result in more or less funding than current levels. Now, Wisconsin fertility ranks 30th. 50 states were 30th among states as of 2022 data from the National Center of Health Statistics. Marriage rates in Wisconsin also rank low among states, according to the same data center. DOT could use U.S. Census data allowing the percentage of married residents, according to Dale Knapp, Director of Research and Analysis for the Wisconsin Counties Association. 51% of residents are married, according to the data. I can tell you how this is going to go. And it ain't good for Wisconsin. Because there was a recent study that came out here. I'm just pulling it up on the old phone. So here we go. this is from Aaron Astor, by the way. Gives us the fertility rates. We talked about this. Remember, Zombers, a few weeks back on the show?
Yeah, yeah.
And for some odd reason, the greatest fertility rates in the United States, other than Alaska, which ranks high, there's a straight line north to south. North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. The highest states of fertility are in South Dakota, Texas, Nebraska, North Dakota, Alaska. By the way, Wisconsin ranks near the bottom.
You know, if the Project 2025 goes through and contraceptives are banned and condoms are behind the counter at the pharmacy, maybe right. You won't have to try very hard.
Very true. Now, of course, there'll be no government money to help out once the kids are born. People have no way to have food or housing or clothing, but by golly, we'll have highways.
That's about it.
855-752-4842. Come on back. We'll talk about it. All Ball Show, Civic Media, right here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.